The following message by Dr. Stanger was delivered at 10 a.m. on September 4, 1970, for the annual convocation service held in Estes Chapel. The message was recorded through the facilities of Asbury Theological Seminary and is now made available to you through the seminary's tape library. Additional copies may be ordered by contacting the tape library and giving complete identification of the message. Now, here is Dean Trana introducing Dr. Stanger, who will speak on the subject, Christ is Life. And life is Christ.
We now come to the portion of the program which I consider a highlight and the climax of the morning activities and orientation. And that is the message by our president. Asbury Theological Seminary is extremely fortunate to have the one who is about to address you as president. In addition to his administrative genius, which is clear to anybody who is close to him as he works in the institution, Dr. Stanger is a man who is wholeheartedly dedicated to Jesus Christ and fully committed to the gospel and to the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Having said that, we need to add, too, I think, that he's a man who is fully human with a warm spirit. You cannot help but like him and love him when you are in contact with him. So along with the commitment, there is the personal warmth that attracts people to him. I have found it a great pleasure and a privilege to work with him and under him. I think I would not be in my present job if it were not for him, not merely because he suggested that I take it, but because there are other reasons why I might want to be doing something else, like teaching, if it weren't for his attractiveness and the privilege it is to share in the administration with him. Someone said to me recently that what we need on seminary campuses is a model which students may use to know the kind of minister they ought to become. And he was saying that most professors are not such models. They tend to live in ivory towers. They are scholars in the extreme sense and somewhat out of touch with reality. I hope this does not describe our professors. I would exclude ours from such a description. In any case, be that as it may, we have a model in this seminary, and he's our president. It is a pleasure and a privilege for me to present him to you now for the President's message. I present to you Dr. Frank Bateman Stanger.
Thank you very much, Dean Trana. This kind of an introduction is one of the reasons why I like Orientation Day. You may not continue to hear such introductions as the year wears on. So I'm grateful for Orientation Day. This is my 12th Orientation Day at the seminary, but this is the first time it's ever been held on the first day of September. Dean Trana mentioned the fact that I try to be human. I immediately thought of two experiences I had this summer. Mrs. Stanger and I spent most of the summer traveling, and we did a lot of visiting of seminary friends and relatives, and we arrived at the home of relatives on the West Coast. We hadn't seen them for a long time. The last time we had seen our nieces, they were much younger than they are now and had never had much of a chance to react to us. And it seems that the older niece had developed the expression of responding to just about everything by saying, "Oh, no." So the minute I started talking, "Oh, no." And I'd try to tell a story, "Oh, no." And we had that for 2 days. And after a while, I began to say, "Is there anybody anywhere that when I begin to say something will say, 'Oh, yes'?" But that wasn't the end of it. I thought I would help my 8-year-old grandnephew and 5-year-old grandnephew win a wiffle ball game. You know, one of these games where you hit it and run as far as you can, and the other fella hits it and runs as far as you can, and then when you run out of team members, one of the other fellas comes back and bats. So I looked out at the game. I was seated there at the cottage. I looked out at the game, and the 5-year-old was on second base, and the 8-year-old was on first base. So I went and grabbed the bat and yelled out, "I'll knock you in." And the grandnephew on first base yelled to the pitcher, "Nothing that this man does matters." So I hit it anyway. And they stood there, second base and first base. The fellow yelled back, he said, "Didn't I say nothing that he does matters?" So it's a good thing to remain human through life. And by the way, you have plenty of opportunities to remain human. And I hope that that's one of the assignments that you accept in seminary. Now, it's my privilege and pleasure to add to the words of welcome that you've already received the welcome of the administration of the seminary, the welcome of the Board of Trustees of the seminary, and the welcome of that large Asbury Theological Seminary constituency, which now spreads throughout the 50 states, the District of Columbia, and into 42 other nations of the earth. These hours on the opening day of school are very important hours in the life of the Asbury Theological Seminary family. And I know that every one of us would be both amazed and thrilled and overawed if we could know how many people are praying for all of us today, this week, and throughout the year. And so I bid you welcome to Asbury Theological Seminary, in that wonderful name of Christ, the name which is high above every name, the only name whereby men may be saved, and that name which, if responded to, will draw all men unto this Jesus, who is the Christ. Now, I'm sure that as you have come to Asbury Theological Seminary, there are some things that you've already noted or will soon begin to notice. Perhaps you've already noted that you have come to a small southern city whose facilities are greatly overtaxed because of the presence of two growing institutions. Our very setting here in Wilmore places upon us a tremendous responsibility to make sure that we keep the whole world in our minds and hearts. I suppose you've already begun to notice that you've come to a campus that's bustling with activity and with expansion and development. We're in the midst of an almost overwhelming program of campus development and expansion. And I might as well confess to you, at the opening of the year, the burdens are getting heavier instead of lighter. as we're trying to build the kind of campus here and trying to have the kind of expansion that a seminary like this needs to have. But this is the spirit of the place to which you have come. I hope that you're beginning to note that we try to take seriously here the concept of a community of faith. I hope you sense something of the love which Jesus Christ came into the world to shed abroad in our hearts. I hope you sense something of the desire for brotherhood under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I hope you sense something of our desire that this shall be a community of faith, where we live together, we worship together, we study together, we listen to God together, we accept divine challenges together. And then I'm sure that you have noted, particularly as a result of the last excellent address, that here is an academic community that takes seriously the spiritual aspects of life. We're a confessional school. We do have a theological position. We do emphasize certain doctrinal distinctives. And I think that you will discover that the very influence of this emphasis upon the spiritual will be the thing that you'll remember most after your Asbury days. I was walking down the street in Claremont, California this summer. I had about 6 blocks to the motel from where the meetings were being held. It's a wonderful time to meditate, you know, when you think you're totally alone. And suddenly I heard my name called out across a couple of lawns. And I stopped in my tract and looked around. And here came a student who had been here about 3 years ago, running across the lawns, saying, "My, I'm glad to see you. Let's talk a little bit together." Now here's a student that had left Asbury Seminary. He wasn't sure that he liked everything that was going on here. But as he talked to me that afternoon and as he talked later that evening in his home, because we paid him a visit, he said, "I want to say something to you." He said, "There's a spirit, there's an emphasis at Asbury Theological Seminary which I would have missed had I not spent at least a year on your campus." And then I thought he talked rather regretfully that he'd run away so soon. You talk to the alumni of the seminary, and the thing that has made the overpowering impression upon them has been the fact that here is an academic community which doesn't neglect the academic. I'll put our academic program up against any theological seminary in the world. It's not neglected. It's not minimized. But at the heart of this academic program, there is this tremendous concern for the spiritual realities of the gospel and of life. And I'm hoping that this will become a tremendous experience of yours as you share with us. For some reason, I've been thinking about what the psalmist said in at least 3 places. Maybe that's what I'm trying to say to you this morning as I try to help you face the opportunities that are yours at Asbury Seminary. In the 18th Psalm and in the 31st Psalm and in the 118th Psalm, The psalmist talked about God placing his feet in a large place. And a large place speaks to me of freedom and of opportunity and of the chance to develop and to grow and to mature. And I would like to suggest to you this morning, on this opening day of what is the beginning of theological education for most of you, it may be the continuance for some of you, but the beginning for most of you, I would like to remind you of the opportunities that are yours this very moment. God has set our feet in a large place. I think the King James Version in one of the places says in a big room. First, the fact that you are here preparing for some form of ministry certainly ought to give to you a compelling sense of the grace of God. Can you think of any greater opportunity than being the recipient of the grace of God? Of preparing for a vocation which has been made possible by the grace of God? Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Now, oftentimes we talk about the drunkard that's been rescued from the gutter and the drug addict that has come from the practice of such demoralizing things and see them converted and say, they are what they are by the grace of God. This is true. But when Paul made this statement, he wasn't talking primarily about a change in his character. He was talking about a change in his vocational status. He said, I am an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am what I am by the grace of God. And my dear friends, the basis of any call to ministry is the grace of God. There isn't a reason in the world why you should have been called. If you think you're God's last word to United Methodism or to Free Methodism or to the Wesleyan Church or to some other church, look out. That's not why you were called. And if that's why you're entering it, perhaps you shouldn't. The only reason in the world why you and I find ourselves in a setting of theological education is because of the grace of God. Now, can you think of a larger room? To sit here this morning and say, thank you, God, for thy grace. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for a grace that has brought me to this place. Thank you for grace which seems to be directing me into some form of full-time ministry. A compelling sense of the grace of God. And as we begin our seminary days, this ought to make us humble. This ought to make us dedicated. This ought to make us totally conscientious in our endeavors. But I'd like to suggest a second aspect of the opportunity that's yours. You've come to seminary in a very strategic time in the history of the world. Now, I know you heard that in college. You've heard that every summer convention you've attended. You're probably going to hear it in every introductory lecture at seminary. But you know the reason why you're hearing it? It's because it's true. This is a strategic time in the history of the world. And why? because it's an age of revolution. Last Saturday morning at the Dallas convocation of United Methodists for Evangelical Christianity, Dr. Claude Thompson, a graduate of Asbury College, now professor of systematic theology at Candler School of Theology at Emory University, enumerated at least 10 revolutions that are going on in our world right this minute. Now, it won't do us any good to say, I don't like the word revolution. It won't do us any good to say that every revolutionary is a communist. It won't do us any good to say, I wish I could have gone to seminary when my father went. This is an age of revolution. And you and I, who are preparing for ministry in any of its expressions, have the marvelous opportunity of matching the gospel to the revolutions of our day. Whether we like it or not, the revolutions are going to go on. The important thing is whether or not the revolutions will go along redemptive lines. And here we are, a God-called people who believe that the gospel alone is able to direct the revolutions redemptively. Can you think of a larger room? Can you think of a bigger place? Can you think of a more glorious opportunity than to be alive and to be young and to be preparing for ministry in this age in history which is so strategic? I have a final suggestion about the great opportunity that's ours. Not only can we have a compelling sense of the grace of God, not only are we here in a strategic period in the history of the world, but this is a challenging time in the life of the church. I wish we had time to get a written statement from each of you what you think about the church. Right now, I mean, get it this morning, before any of us around here have changed your thinking. And then I'd like to have you say the same thing on the eve of your commencement. Write a similar statement and see what happens. Sure, the church is in crisis. Every time the church has ever done anything effectively, it's because it's been in crisis. If you can think of a church that isn't in crisis, you can think of a church that doesn't need to rely upon God, or a church that doesn't need to relate itself to society. It's a church in crisis. That was the very theme of the convocation in Dallas. Good news for the church in crisis. But here again is the marvelous opportunity for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and for the power of the Spirit to be manifest. And my friends, you and I are living in a day when the Church of Jesus Christ is witnessing a movement of the Spirit. Even Louis Cassels, United Press International Religion writer, recently, about a month ago, maybe less than a month ago, had a large article about the movement of the Spirit in the churches across America. God's Spirit is moving. And then you and I are witnessing the renewal of the laity. And I trust that one of the results of your seminary days will be to see your new role in relation to the church and to the laity. You're not going out into the church to do what I did when I was graduated far more years ago than I want to think about. I went out to run the church. Dr. Ira Galloway, district superintendent in Fort Worth, said that more Methodist ministers have underlined in the discipline the words minister in charge than anything else in their disciplines. I'm the minister in charge. Ah, there's a new role emerging. There's the new role emerging of the minister as player, as coach. And if he plays at all, it's in the role of a coach. But the laity are being renewed and mobilized for effective ministry in today's world. Why shouldn't we let the laity do something about the church? You know how many of them there are? 99% of the church is laity. Where did the 1% of us get the idea that we were the church? Ah, my friends, there's a tremendous movement of renewal upon the laity, and here you are being called to ministry to learn how to fit into this new movement and to do what the minister is supposed to do in directing the work of laity in their various ministries. I tell you, as thrilling as it was for me to go to seminary many years ago, it didn't begin to compare with the thrill of preparing for ministry in today's world. The challenging time in the life of the church, the strategic time in the history of the world, and that marvelous opportunity of sharing in a compelling sense of the grace of God as it takes possession of me and of you and prepares us for ministry. Thou hast set us in a large place, in a big room. What tremendous opportunities are ours as we begin seminary together. In closing, may I give you 4 suggestions that I think will help you in seminary? I've been in seminary a little longer than you've been. Can I give you 4 suggestions? Some of them may not be very meaningful to you as you begin, but talk to me in the middle of the year. 4 things that I think will help you get the most out of seminary. First, remember that Asbury Theological Seminary is primarily a school. Now, you've got to keep that in mind. You know, every once in a while we get somebody here who thinks this is a camp meeting that has a few courses in religion thrown into it. Ah, no. This is a school. And we hope once in a while to have the camp meeting spirit. But we're basically a school. And here's our marvelous opportunity to love God with all of our minds. Secondly, preparation for ministry includes personal maturity in every area of your life. So while you're working on the books and working on the professional skills, will you remember the need for emotional maturity? Will you remember the need for spiritual maturity? Will you remember that here's your opportunity to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And one of the great benefits of seminary at Asbury ought to be the fact that you can learn to know Christ better. Your testimony ought to be far more fervent on commencement day than it is this morning, as wonderful as it is this morning. Third, expect to find a delightful variety on this campus. I've used that adjective advisedly. Some folks get all frustrated because they come and find some teachers or some fellow students or some administrators who don't do things just exactly like they've always seen done in their home churches. Why, we've even had people get frustrated because we use the hymn book instead of a song sheet. And you ask them why. Well, I said, we never had a hymn book in our church. Well, you're going to find a hymn book here, and you're going to find song sheets. You're going to find worship services that are planned, and you're going to find some unplanned worship services. You're going to find some speakers who use a manuscript. You're going to find some others that just get up and throw their hands and holler. You've got to find some people who pray quietly and pause for breath between prayer, between sentences. And you're going to find others that pray like a house of fire. And they're not a bit out of breath, even though you are when they finish. You're going to find some people that want an altar call at every chapel service. You're going to find other people who think that we can once in a while not have an altar call and still have chapel. You're going to find some people that may cross T's in a little different way or dot I's in a little different way on certain non-essentials. Listen, young friend, listen. This is a part of the glory of Asbury Seminary. There's a delightful variety here. And we're united on essentials. But with our interdenominational flavor, we're trying to give God the variety and the diversity of our personalities. And after a while, you'll begin to contribute to this variety, and then the rest of us will thank God for you. You see, you've joined the heap. But oh, the unity that runs beneath it is the thing that thrills us. And finally, each day in seminary, let the Holy Spirit help you maintain the glow of the challenge of the ministry to which you have been called. Do it day by day. Live in the glow of the Spirit. No matter what the pressures are, no matter what the circumstances are, hold on to that glow of your calling, and the Holy Spirit will help you do it. It's a thrill to have you on campus with us. All of us say a great big welcome. And already you're in our hearts and in our prayers. And may God continue to pour out upon us His grace, and give us the guidance of His Spirit as we live another year together on this campus.